Good afternoon. How are we today? Yeah, it's good. Great to see all of you. For those who are new here to MV, we welcome you. We welcome you because we are a family here. We always want to welcome everyone who comes into this fellowship because we see you as not as a visitor. We always want to make you feel that, you know, if you haven't got a home church, if you have still seeking to find a church and you are just here, we want to say welcome to MV, and we hope that you will make this church part of your family, extended family. That's just who we are. That's how MV works. It's just that we always want to connect with you and able to just say, hey, guys, you know, how can we come alongside you? So today, we're going to talk about TNC. TNC applies. If you haven't come across this word TNC, look at your next time when you drive into a car park, a paid car park, you see that signboard that says TNC applies. Or sometimes if you go into your docket, you know, in some kind of contract or anything, you see TNC, and normally it's in fine print so that you can't read it. That's right. And so hopefully you just bypass that and then just hope everything will be all right. TNC applies. See, in God's kingdom, there's also TNC. There's TNC in God's kingdom. You want to see the next miracle, TNC applies. If you're praying and you're praying for a breakthrough, guess what? This TNC applies. What is this TNC? I'll tell you later, all right? So we're going to start off, we're going to pick up a story from 2 Kings chapter 5. It's a story that I love and enjoy reading. And at 2 Kings chapter 5, there's this girl, this unknown girl, this a servant girl. No name given, just this young girl. Because back then, the kingdom of Aram came and invaded and raided Israel. And they took lots of captives back home. And this young girl, without a name, was mentioned in the story in 2 Kings chapter 5. This young girl served in the master's house, a commander. He works under Naaman. All right. So you got to picture for a while and appreciate this story a little bit more is by saying that this young girl, she was a captive. Not by her own will or choice, she was taken away, ripped away from her family, from her home, and brought to another foreign land, serving as a servant. So you must imagine again with me and see how she would have felt serving in someone else's home, away from home, not in her own choice or own will, but then against her very own will, she was taken and ripped away from her family. Now, we've been talking about in the last couple of weeks, if you can recall, the whole theme that we got here. We started off with God knows no boundary, or God has no boundaries. Then we talk about making room for Jesus. And then the last 2 weeks, you know, we talk about passion for Christ. This young girl has it all. This young girl, imagine, she said this one day, loud enough for the master's wife to hear. He says this, if only my master will see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. So we're going to talk about Naaman in a while. But basically, this young girl, obviously a servant, right? Ripped away from her family. But yet, when she saw what her master, Naaman, was going through, having leprosy, she showed everything that we've been talking about. Why did I say that? It's because why? Number one, she served a God, of God of Israel. But taken away from Israel to another foreign land, she understood right at a young age, God has no boundaries. The same God that she serves in Israel is the same God that will perform the same kind of miracles in a foreign land. What did I say about her? She says, she's a servant girl without a title, without a name. But she made room for Jesus. She made room and says, you know what? I'm going to be vulnerable this time around. I'm willing to pluck up my courage to just speak loud enough. She didn't preach. She didn't go around and say, "Thus says the Lord." She didn't. She just gave an invitation. You remember we talked about show and tell. Sometimes we think that an evangelist's job is to stand up here on a stage with like Billy Graham and the likes of Billy Graham and start preaching and hoping that everyone will put up their hand and repent and cry in tears and then come to the altar and then give their lives to Christ. No, but this young girl, she just said, if only my master would see the prophet. She understands not just the prophet Elijah at that time. She understood the God that she served back home in Israel. Even though she was now a captive, she still says, "You know what? My God of Israel will come true to it." All she did was give an invitation. Make room for Jesus. What does making room for Jesus look like? Well, that's it. As simple as, "Hey, you know what? There's something's happening. Something's cooking here in MV. Just invite someone to say, hey, look, I don't know what's going to happen, but you know what? If you come here today, something is going to happen. I don't know what, but God has got the power. The same God that we talk about in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the same God that we serve today. So you talk about passion for Christ? She has got passion for Christ. Because what if the soldier, the commander, goes all the way to see Elijah and he never got healed? Her head is on the chopper board. You got to understand that the price that she would have to pay if things don't come to pass. That's the kind of risk that she was taking. She's putting her head on the chopper board, basically, saying to, if God doesn't turn up, I'm doomed. But you see, she has the understanding of TNC. TNC applies here. You see, to be able to have that confidence to speak like that, you have to know who your God is. Do you know your God? Do you know, believe the God that you serve? Because TNC applies in every situation. Now we're going to pick up the story from the man himself, Naaman. You see, Naaman was a valiant soldier. All right, he's a valiant soldier with, unfortunately, the Bible says this, he was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. You see, life has got the buts in life. You see, the butt is the one that sometimes really gets into us. I got a great family, but my marriage is breaking down. Oh, you know what? You know, God has blessed me financially. You know, God has given me so many things in terms of material wealth and accumulation, but if only my child or my children or my son or my daughter will come back. Or but because what? Because of something. You fill in the blanks. You know what your but is. You see, Naaman was a successful soldier in his time. But he had leprosy. You see, from my understanding of a leper, what would you be doing? You'd be covering yourself up all the time. Right? See, Naaman was a commander. He was a chief, you know, maybe in today's term, he might be the chief of army, maybe. And as a leper, people will shun away from you because you're a leper. But yet he was leading an army. And I would just assume in my mind that Naaman will always be covering all his self up, because he doesn't want to expose to anyone that he's got leprosy. He doesn't want people to see through and see him in his weakest form. Because when he puts on his uniform, he's got all the nice Navy SEAL badges on him. You know, he's got the US Rangers or equivalent to our SAS. He's got all those colors donned on him. And so he wouldn't take it off. Because why? That is his way of saying, I'm strong, I'm great, I'm good. But when he gets home, when he takes off his shirt or his armor or whatever he's wearing, and he looks and stands in front of the mirror, if there was a mirror then, you know, and he says, oh my gosh. People will stay away from him. I don't even know whether the wife wants to sleep together with him in the same room. He's a lonely man. It wasn't easy for him as a leper. But the only way to cover and mask everything was to put on the uniform. Because at least he can command his troops. So what happens is this. So now he took the advice. He took the challenge. He said, right, I'm going. I'm going to give it a go. All right? And he says, so Naaman started out. I won't tell you the whole story. I mean, you just go and read 2 Kings chapter 5. So Naaman set off. He set off carrying many gifts because he thought, you know, he brought all his bitcoins, right? So in today's terms, he brought all the gold and silver and everything, thinking that, all right, I'm going to get healed. This is it. No more shame. I don't have to cover this up in summer, you know? Now I can wear my thongs, I can wear shorts, I can do it and enjoy the sun like everyone else. And then a disappointing thing happened. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elijah's house. But Elijah sent a messenger out to him with this message. You see, Elijah doesn't even want to meet him. And he felt insulted because, look, I am the second most important guy in my country other than the king himself. I've come with all my gifts. I've come with all my bitcoins. And Elijah didn't even want to meet him, didn't even want to greet him because he thought that would be the most courteous thing to do, is to roll out the carpet and welcome him. But I can pretty much understand why Elijah didn't want him, because he's a leper. He doesn't want to get infected. Maybe. I don't know what's the real reason why Elijah didn't want to meet him. But Elijah sent out his messenger and said, you go meet him. And send him this message. And that was the message. Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. You want to see your next miracle? TNC applies here. What is the TNC here? It says, go wash yourself 7 times. Now, you got to understand. Now, I don't know how you wash yourself. But when someone tells you to wash yourself in the river, you have to take off your clothes, right? You got to literally scrub. And that was humiliating for him. It's like, are you trying to put me to shame? You know I have leprosy. And you want me to take off my clothes and show to everyone how bad my skin is? That was one of the thoughts that went to him, I think. Because why would he be so angry? Because it says this. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God. Now, at this point, he's not a Christian yet. That's why he says it's his God. Right? Wave his hand over the spot and cure me. Cure me of my leprosy. And then he starts to ramble and curse and swear and says, are these, what, why has it got to be with the River Jordan? Are not my rivers a lot cleaner than your River Jordan? You see, he's angry, he's upset, his pride, his anger and rage, I don't think it's because of the water. He felt insulted. He knows that he feels that this God that is trying to humiliate me. And then you got to remember that Elijah was a bald-headed guy. You know, to him, it's like, who's this bald-headed guy telling me what to do now? He's rude. Pride, anger and rage, stood in the middle between his miracle or he can stay status quo. TNC applies here, man. Because you got to ask yourself, is there something in our lives that is stopping us from receiving the miracle and the promises of God? Because if it is, we got to apply the TNC. So anyways, thank God for good men along the way who said to him and encouraged him, say, hey, look, do it. I'll read your story. But and then he went in. He did. And he decided to take off his clothes. He went to the river. Picture with me, not the naked part, but just picture with me that he goes into the river. All right? There you go. I just said the word and now you're thinking about it. All right, gosh. I shouldn't have said it. And then he went in. You got to imagine at this stage. He says, I can't help it because I see my pastor laughing. But the story is this. He went in. I don't know about you, but imagine going in and then he says, all right, look, this is humiliating. He dips in once and then he's washed himself. All that goes through his mind is anger, shame. Then he gets up, number one, six more to go. He goes in again and then he sees more things are being revealed, self-doubt and pain. He gets up again. He looks around. He looks at his hand. It's still the same. Come on. Are they playing a trick on me? Is it because we raided Israel and now this is a payback time? And he goes on again the third time. And more things are being revealed. The hurts, the loneliness, the frustration in his life. There could be more. I don't know. I'm just putting a few when I was praying through. I said, God, what are some of the things? Maybe you are experiencing certain things in your life that you need, that we need the cleansing power of God to come in and say, you know what, God? I want to be really honest. It's time for me to go in for the dip. Because restoration takes time. Salvation is instant because the minute you say, God, I believe you, and you invite Jesus Christ into your heart, that salvation is instant. But sanctification, restoration takes time. And as you go through that, you see, God was interested in healing Naaman physically. But you know what? He's more interested as well. He's just as interested in healing his inner being. You see, there's no point restoring this outer skin if your inner world is in chaos. You see, our God, when he reconciles us to him, when Jesus reconciles us back to the Father, he's saying, when you talk about reconciliation, in accounting terms, reconciliation means it's balanced. It's like being all the debt has been canceled. Then he goes to the fourth time. He says, gosh, come on. Something must happen. I've already done three or four times now. Something must happen. And as he got up the fourth time, I don't know whether it's the fourth time or the fifth, I'm just making it up. But I believe that each time he gets up, something happens. And I started to feel the peace. Calm starts to come in. Dignity being restored because now he's no longer afraid about him being naked. You see, it's just like back in the days of Garden of Eden. They were naked, but they didn't have any shame. But we know that one thing that's common here is that when they sin, Adam and Eve try to cover themselves with fig leaves. Likewise, when Naaman had all these issues in his life, the leprosy, he tried to cover himself with his armor. But sometimes God wants us to strip away. We need to strip away the facade that we try to build around us so that God can then work in us, if that makes sense. And as he gets up again, he says, oh my gosh, something's happening. He begins to feel even greater sense of trust, peace, love. And voila, when he came to the seventh time, fully restored. I don't know whether it was the sixth time that he was restored or the seventh time that he got up that he was restored. But I know it is a process. It is a process. All of us are going through a process of restoration because when God comes, when he comes back for the bride, he's coming for a bride without spots or blemish. We have a choice. We have a choice to say continue living our life and then cover up as much as we can. But God is interested in reaching out to us and in us because his job is not to humiliate us. He wants and he desires humility from us. You see, when Naaman was able to come to a point of obedience and humble himself, God says in his word, in 1 Peter says, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. TNC applies. So what is this TNC? Now we're going to unveil what the TNC is. This is it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. And then it goes on the next part. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. TNC applies. It's time to trust and commit. Everything, if you want to see your miracle, you want to see your prayers come true, you want to see growth, you want to see yourself having that inner peace, it's not my TNC, it's God's TNC. Trust and commit. Because if we don't, we just might miss out on the next miracle in your life. This is where Numbers 20:12 says, backdrop of the story. This is when Moses and Aaron was asking God, says, God, please send water because these people that you asked me to lead, they are murmuring and grumbling and complainers. And they are now trapped in the desert. And then God said to Moses, all right, take your staff with you. Right, so the backdrop of the story, take your staff and go to the rock and speak to the rock and then the water will come forth. Now, I don't understand why God had to tell Moses to take his staff when all he needed was to speak to the rock. I don't know whether it's a trick question or what, because naturally, if someone asks you to take a baseball bat, all right, and go to the rock and speak to the rock, you would instantly think, oh, the baseball bat is meant to be hitting the rock. Right? This is a natural thing for me, at least. But God just said, take the staff, but he didn't say anything. He just says, take the staff with you, but then speak to the rock. Now, Moses then went, and he took this staff, but instead of just speaking, he started hitting the rock, and then the water came forth. He hit the rock twice. And this is what God said to him. Because you did not trust me enough, I gave you an instruction. I give you a word. Do you trust me 100% or is it just 99.999%? I don't know what enough is in God's definition, but to me, I think it's only one thing. It's either you trust or you don't trust. because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the land I'm giving them. You see, you trust God with your words and action, and you commit everything to Him. So I'm going to wrap up here if our musicians are ready. Trust and commit. You see, there's a difference when for newlyweds or for those who are going to get married, and then you say to each other, we say those kind of things like, you know, I really believe I will have a great marriage, or I know I should love my wife. How many of you know that when you say, I believe and I know, it's not good enough? You see, I can believe that I'm going to get 100 upon 100 in my next math test. But if I don't put in the hard yards, if I don't follow what I need to do, like math practice or whatever it is, I will not, even I can believe, I genuinely believe, but I will not get it. I know I should love my wife, but if you don't do it, you will not have a wonderful marriage. So the question I have for reflection is this. TNC applies. Is believing and knowing enough to transform your life? Is that good enough? Just believing and knowing? TNC applies. When you trust and you commit, you throw away everything that you think it is going to hinder you and says, God, I'm just going to rely on you 101%. So if I can get, Maria is going to lead us a song, but I want to just, if all of us would take this time just to reflect and says, God, you know, the song that Maria was leading us to, the song, The Deep, Deep Love, I think it was called. I really believe there is something that God wants to do deep down in us. All of us want the physical healing, but God is more interested in the inner healing. Get ready. It might not be today, it might be today, but it's going to happen if you allow to make room for Jesus. It says, God, I'm ready. Restoration takes time. If only you open up and says, God, come in.